A tree stands in a clearing, just another oak among thousands. Yet for centuries, pilgrims traveled vast distances to stand before it, weeping, praying, leaving offerings at its roots. To them, this wasn't merely wood and leaves. It was the dwelling place of Zeus, a portal where divine and earthly realms intersected. How does an ordinary object become extraordinary? This question sits at the heart of human religious experience, and it reveals something profound about how most people throughout history have understood reality itself. The sacred doesn't announce itself through logical argument. It erupts into ordinary life, transforming whatever it touches while leaving its natural properties intact. That oak remained botanically identical to its neighbors, same bark, same leaves, same cellular structure. Yet simultaneously, it became something else entirely, a hierophany, a manifestation of divine power. This paradox defines religious consciousness. When Australian Aborigines carried their sacred pole across the desert, they weren't transporting wood, they held the cosmic axis established by their divine ancestor Numbakula. When it broke during their travels, the entire clan lay down awaiting death. Without this connection to the sacred, their world had collapsed into meaningless chaos. They couldn't survive in purely profane existence. For religious humans across cultures and centuries, the sacred equals power and reality. Only what participates in the sacred truly exists. For religious humans, space isn't uniform. It contains sacred interruptions that are immediately recognizable and profoundly significant. When Jacob dreamed of a ladder reaching heaven at Haran, he awoke terrified. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He had discovered a sacred space where communication between cosmic levels becomes possible. For religious consciousness, such places constitute the center of the world, not geographically, but anywhere the sacred has manifested itself. Jerusalem, Mecca, Benares, each represents the universe's navel for their respective traditions. These sacred spaces are discovered, not chosen. A mysterious light appears, an unusual animal emerges, or a divine dream reveals where the sacred wishes to manifest. When ancient peoples claimed new territory, they consecrated it through rituals repeating the original divine act of creation. The Vedic ritual for claiming territory involved building an altar to Agni that reproduced the universe. Water mixed with clay represented primordial waters, the base symbolized earth, lateral walls represented atmosphere. Through this ritual, unknown territory transformed from chaotic, other space into ordered cosmos. Even modern housewarming parties preserve traces of this pattern, the memory of beginning new life in a newly created world. During Babylon's 12-day New Year festival, priests recited the Enuma Elish, the creation epic of Marduk defeating chaos monster Tiamat. Through elaborate ceremonies, they became contemporaries of creation itself, witnessing cosmos emerge from chaos. This reveals something extraordinary. For religious humans, time isn't homogeneous. Profane time encompasses ordinary activities. Sacred time is primordial, mythical time made present through ritual, fundamentally reversible and recoverable. Jewish families don't represent the Exodus during Passover, they participate in it. Christians taking communion aren't symbolizing the Last Supper, they're present at it. This differs radically from modern experience. We celebrate historical anniversaries without believing we're actually returning to those moments. For religious humans, primordial sacred time remains eternally present and recoverable. When Australian Aborigines perform ancestral ceremonies, they're living in dream time, when the world was new. What seems like resistance to change is actually profound desire to live connected to sacred reality, ensuring existence remains saturated with divine meaning. Myths aren't false stories, they're sacred histories, revealing what gods or culture heroes did at the beginning of time. These narratives establish patterns for all significant human activities. As the Netsalik Eskimos declare, it is so because it is said to be so. The power of myth lies in providing paradigmatic models for human behavior. By imitating divine actions, humans ensure their activities participate in sacred reality. Agricultural work becomes ritual revealed by divine beings. Marriage reenacts the cosmic union between Sky God and Earth Mother. War repeats the primordial battle between order and chaos. Modern secular society has largely lost this mythic dimension. We perform activities for practical reasons without reference to divine models. Yet traces persist. When we speak of chaos threatening our world or celebrate new beginnings, we're unconsciously drawing on ancient mythic patterns. Gaze at the night sky far from city lights. For religious humans, this vast canopy speaks a sacred language that religious consciousness reads fluently. The sky's height and vastness reveal transcendence through direct experience. Countless cultures name supreme deities with sky-related terms. The Maoris, Iho, elevated, the Chinese, Tian, sky, the Indo-European, Dias, root of divine. Water symbolizes the totality of possibilities preceding form. Immersion represents regression to the pre-formal state, while emergence symbolizes rebirth. Earth reveals itself as universal mother. Trees reveal life's perpetual renewal, with the cosmic tree connecting different realms appearing across traditions, from Norse Yggdrasil to Indian Ashvata, representing life, youth, immortality, and wisdom. Modern desacralized consciousness has largely lost this ability to read cosmic language. Nature has become opaque and mute, merely resources to exploit rather than hierophanies to contemplate. Yet even secular humans retain traces of religious response to nature's grandeur, suggesting we haven't completely forgotten the universe's hidden language. Accessing sacred reality demands dying to profane existence and being reborn into sanctified life. In tribal initiations, adolescents undergo symbolic death, separated from family, secluded in caves representing the underworld, sometimes buried or covered with ash. Physical ordeals like scarification and fasting represent dismemberment by ancestral spirits, constituting genuine spiritual transformations. After symbolic death comes rebirth. Initiates receive new names, learn sacred languages, and acquire ritual objects marking their transformation. They gain knowledge of three mysteries: the sacred, death, and sexuality. The uninitiated child exists in spiritual ignorance. The initiate becomes one who knows. This pattern extends across religions. Buddhists become twice-born, transformed into sons of the Buddha. Hindu yogins undergo tapas and be reborn into moksha. Christians symbolically die with Christ through baptism to be resurrected into new life. Islamic Sufis experience fana, ego annihilation, followed by baqa, subsistence in divine reality. Despite differences, one element remains constant. Authentic spiritual life always requires death to the profane condition, followed by rebirth into sacred reality. Stand in any modern city. Glass towers reach skyward, traffic flows in regulated patterns, people check smartphones between appointments. This is the world of non-religious humans, those who reject transcendence and see themselves solely as history's agents. They seek freedom by desacralizing the world, transforming cosmic sacred reality into mere material resources. Yet they descend from homo religiosus and cannot completely escape this inheritance. Modern secular consciousness forms itself through denials of its religious past, yet remains haunted by what it rejects. The privileged places of private universes, birthplaces, scenes of first love, streets of first foreign cities, retain qualities resembling sacred spaces. Celebrations of new beginnings echo ancient cosmogonic rituals. Political movements structure themselves around mythic patterns of paradise lost and regained. This represents what Christian theology might call a second fall. Non-religious humans have lost the capacity to consciously live religion, retaining only buried memories. Yet the sacred persists in disguised forms. By understanding Homo religiosus, we gain insight into structures of consciousness that continue shaping human experience, even when their religious content has been forgotten. The question isn't whether we can return to that mode of consciousness, but whether we can recognize its traces, the moments when ordinary places feel special, when certain times feel charged with possibility, when nature evokes something beyond itself.